John chapter 12. We'll pick up here in verse number 12. John chapter 12 and verse number 12. Remembering last week we talked about the spikenard and this oil that was anointing the feet of Jesus and this ointment. There was a good smell that it was very costly, and we saw that Mary gave much to be able to do this, and so she sacrificed much so that she could do this. And then we see the next day, it says in verse number 12, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches and palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon. And as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. Now, I've got a few points that we're going to try to cover today. We're just going to look at what's going on in this passage. I want to just take, we don't really have much time to dig into all the background and everything. But you see what's happening. Jesus is coming into the city as was prophesied. And here he is, he's coming in, and the people are responding in a wonderful way. So we're going to look here, and keeping hydrated there. So we're going to look here and notice a few things about this passage, try to apply some things here from this passage. The first thing I notice when I look at verse number 12 is that Jesus is coming. We'll see here it says that on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and it goes on, says that they did something about it. And I want to encourage each of you today to first of all recognize and hear today, hear from the Word of God, that Jesus is coming. Now, of course, we're talking here about Jesus coming to Jerusalem, and he fulfilled that prophecy. The prophecy was that he would come to Jerusalem, he would be on a donkey, and he would come on into the city, and the people would praise him for coming. They would say, Hosanna, and all this. So he comes in just as was prophesied for his first coming. Well, the same we see that Jesus is going to come again. It's prophesied throughout the Bible that he would come first to suffer as the Lamb of God, that he would die upon the cross for our sins. It was prophesied, and the prophecy was fulfilled, that he came into Jerusalem, and as he comes, just 7 days later, after they're praising him, they hated him. They spit upon him. They jeered him. They mocked him. They said, Crucify him. And he fulfilled his first coming's prophecy when he gave himself on the cross. But I want to encourage you guys today that Jesus is coming again. That he's going to come again, just like he came before, but except this time our King, as he says here in just a few moments, this time the King is going to come. He's going to come on a white horse, and he's going to come, and he's going to have the Word of God, and his vesture dipped in blood, and he's going to come not like the Antichrist conquering and to conquer, but he's going to conquer all at once. And he's going to sit down on the throne in Jerusalem, and he's going to rule the world for 1,000 years. But I want to tell you, Jesus is coming, and it says here that when they heard that Jesus was coming, they did something. They made preparation. These people went and they cut off branches of the palm trees, and they got ready, and they were ready to praise him, and they were ready to meet him face to face. Let me ask you today, are you ready for Jesus to come? Are you ready when He comes in the clouds. Now, of course, we recognize you get into eschatology and you look at the prophecy of Scripture, and you see Him. You're going to know that as you study the Bible, that Jesus is going to come and He's going to get all the saints, and then we're going to go back to heaven. We're going to be with Him. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. All that stuff's going to happen, and on earth at that time, while all that's happening, God's going to pour out His wrath, and there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, such as the world has never seen, because it's tribulation not from man, not from persecution, but it's tribulation directly from God. God is pouring out His wrath on the earth, but during that time, those of us that are born again are going to be with Jesus. And at that time, we're going to stand before Him. We're going to be, the things that we have done are going to be considered, and we're going to receive reward for what we've done. And we're going to find, though, that if we're not properly prepared, we're going to suffer loss. You see, when we stand before God, but suffer loss doesn't mean, you know, He's not going to put us in purgatory. He's not going to put us in hell. But we're not going to get the reward that we could have gotten had we prepared for His coming. You see, if we look around us in our world, you don't have to go very far. You can walk right out here on the street and look around and you see sin everywhere. You look around and you see people that are not saved, people that do not understand the gospel, people that do not understand that Jesus died for their sins. They don't know the victory that the cross can give them. They don't understand that God came down from heaven to take away their sins. And you look around and they're everywhere. And part of you really, really badly wants to see something happen. Something, you just want to see God get a hold of them. You want to see repentance over their sin. You want to see the repentant heart. You want to see them to recognize that God loves them and He gave Himself for them. You want to see them get saved. But more important than our desire to see the lost world around us get saved is that we're ready when Jesus comes. Now let me tell you, that being ready when Jesus comes has a whole lot to do with laboring in these fields to see these people getting saved. But being ready when Jesus comes isn't just about going through the motions of telling people about how Jesus died for their sins. It's about knowing God intimately. I was just looking over my message for Sunday morning in Philippians chapter 3, and I was just meditating on that this morning and crying out to God. That I, as Paul said, that I may know Him. Now I know God. I know God as my Savior. I know Jesus as my Savior, my Lord. But oh, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, that I may be made conformable unto His death. As I sat there and prayed, I said, Lord, You know me and how selfish I am and how I don't want to go through any pain or any difficulty. I don't want people to not like me. I don't want to have persecution. I don't want to have to know Your suffering. But I want to know You. And if it means being rejected of men, then so be it. And so be it. Now, I don't want to go out and be a jerk and make people mad at me just so that I can know suffering. No, because then I won't know the fellowship of His sufferings, because my suffering won't be anything like His suffering, because my suffering will be brought upon me by my own stupidity, by my own bad works. But His suffering was brought upon Him because He was right, because He was holy, because they hated His goodness. It wasn't brought upon Him because He was wrong or because He had done wrong. But we want to see, back to our point here, we want to be ready when the King comes. We want to be ready when the King comes. You see, they prepared themselves. Now ask yourself today, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you saved, first of all? Secondly, are you ready? If you're saved today, are you ready? Do you anticipate His coming? Are you on the edge of your seat, ready to go? Not just ready to get out of here, but ready because, as Paul said, you've fought a good fight. You've kept the faith. You've finished your course. Henceforth, there's a crown waiting for you. Are you ready for Jesus today? Are you ready because you know that you've done what He's asked you to do? You see, some of us today, we might be sitting and thinking, what is it that God wants of me? What is it that I'm to do? In my current position in life, what I've got, the resources I have, and maybe you feel that you're too old, or maybe you feel like you've wasted too much of your life or too much of your time or something. God still has something for you to do. Each and every one of you. God has something for you to do. Are you doing it? You might say, oh, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, you're going to find out if you seek God for it. How's your prayer life? I'll tell you what, that's been the biggest challenge to me the last few weeks. It's just God just drawing me back to prayer. Drawing me back. I'll tell you what, God tells you a whole lot of stuff through prayer. Now, I'm not saying He goes outside of His Word. Absolutely not. God speaks through His Word. But all too often, we expect God to speak, but we don't speak to Him. We don't go to Him and get a hold of that altar and say, God, I want an answer. That's what you got to do. If you don't know what God wants you to do to get ready, if you've never even thought about, well, what is it I'm supposed to do for the kingdom of God, for God's work? What is it I'm supposed to do? Let me tell you, there is something you're supposed to do. You have a part in God's plan. You have a part. Each and every one of you, if you're saved today, if you're not saved, you still have a part in God's plan. You just need to get saved so that you can start fulfilling it. You have a part. And if you don't know what it is, you need to seek God. Seek Him in prayer. And beg Him to show you what it is, and then be faithful to read His Word. And He'll reveal it to you. Keep listening to the preaching. Listen closely and consider, what is it God wants me to do? Where does God want me to go? What does He want me to say? Each day as you go throughout your day, you know, it's easy to get lulled into, well, I get up at this time and I do this and then I do that and then I do this and then I do that and then this happens and then I go to bed. And that happens the next day. And it happens the next day. Oh, it's weekend. So on the weekend, this is my weekend routine. It's so easy to get into that so much that we don't have the plan of God being fulfilled in our lives. We get lulled to sleep by the God of this world. And He says, it's okay. It's okay. Just lay right there. It's okay. Just go with the flow. It's okay. No, God doesn't want us to just go with the flow. God wants us to recreate the flow. God wants us to be the change in this wicked world. God wants us to make a difference here. We're not on this journey to go with the flow. We're not on this journey to just make it through. God wants us to make a difference. What does God want you to do? How are you preparing for the coming of your King? Now, we recognize that He fulfilled prophecy. But in this passage, we see that they heard that Jesus was coming. They prepared for His coming. And they said, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Then the prophecy reminded us again, thy King cometh. In verse number 15. His disciples didn't understand it at first. And I ask you today, do you understand the significance of the coming of Christ? Do you understand the significance? What it means that He's coming? If not, go back to Him in prayer. And in the Word to find. Now, one last thing and we'll close. The people that saw Jesus do a great work didn't keep their mouths shut. They witnessed. They bear record. Verse number 17 says that the people, and I'm going to kind of summarize the rest, that saw what he did with Lazarus, bear record. They bear record. And for this cause, because they were bearing record, others met him. Ask yourself today, who is meeting Jesus because you're bearing record of him? Who is meeting Jesus because you're bearing record of him? And when God begins to work, the outsiders look on and they say, wow, the whole world is gone after him. Now we recognize that they weren't correct in saying that. The whole world wasn't going after him. But it seemed like it. Wouldn't that be exciting? If the politicians of our day looked at what was going on here in Indianapolis and said, what is going on? The whole city's running after God. Wouldn't that be exciting? If they said, what are we going to do now? The whole world's going after him. First Burlington, then Indianapolis, then where else? St. Louis, then Detroit, then Chicago, then New York, San Francisco. The whole world's going after him. Fellas, I'm going to tell you though, it's not going to happen unless you prepare yourself for the coming. Now listen, we talk about Jesus' return. Sometimes we need to stop and think that the glory has departed. Sometimes we need to stop and think that Jesus, the King, needs to come back on His throne in your heart. Sometimes we get aside, we step aside, we stray, and the King of our heart is now ourself. And it's time for us to get off that throne and let the King come. And we praise Him and we say, take over. This is your throne. This is your life. This is your heart. This is your flesh. You take this and you do whatever you're going to do with it. And that's how we prepare for His second coming. Is we let Him come first in our hearts. Now, of course, we recognize you're born again. If you're saved today, you'll never lose that salvation. You'll never lose it. He will never leave you nor forsake you. But sometimes we leave Him. And we got to call Him back. We've got to go to Him in prayer. We've got to say, Lord, I need You. I don't have much to offer. In fact, I don't have anything to offer God. There's nothing here that's of any good. But if He'll just be kind enough to use me, I don't want to get in His way. He can be the King. Hopefully that's each of our hearts today. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You that Jesus is coming.